For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's 8 o'clock.
It's time for more 92.9 The Game Tonight.
Let's keep it going now.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, this is a fun time of the year. I mean, we get baseball kind of wrapping into late July and the trade deadline coming up in 5 days. What are the Braves going to do? Are they going to do anything? By the way, are the Braves going to do anything? That's another great question. I guess just to make it as simple as I can, because sometimes I need simple questions. Are the Braves going to do anything? Because at this point, I'm with Orin. I think they're going to do something, but it's going to be, huh? What? I think it's going to be something along those lines. I don't think it's going to be, the Braves just got this dude, blah, 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 blah. Right? You know, I don't think so. I think it'll be like, huh? Okay. We'll see how that works. Yeah. Sure. But Alex Anthopoulos is pretty darn good at finding guys, his ability to find players who fit this team, who come in and excel for the team. Though I will say this year, his attempt, because he had such a weak bench, and I don't mean that in any defamatory way to the guys that were on the bench, but it was just a weak bench, that his desire to improve that bench led to him reaching back into the well of Adam Duvall and Eddie Rosario. I can't say I blame him. They were available to him. They were inexpensive. They're veterans. I don't blame him for doing that. I think it's fine, but I also am not surprised it hadn't worked. And, you know, there's, as the one caller said, it's something I've been preaching. There's something just missing with this team. And yes, there a lot of it has to do with injuries. Some people say it's Ron Washington and Eric Young. Some people say, look, if injuries finally caught up to him, you know, with Strider going down and you know, certainly a Matzik going out for the year and Ronald Acuna. And then all the long-term injuries, and now Michael Harris is going to be a long-term injury, you know, and Max Fried, long-term injury, and long-term injuries to Sean Murphy and Austin Riley and Ozzie Albies is really going to be a long-term injury now. So, I mean, they are so banged up that they just don't have the core of the same team they used to have. And they're trying to piecemeal this and patchwork it together. So that's why I asked yesterday, I used a new term. I've been saying that people who have been like Brian Sticker of, hey, we're going to be fine, you just relax, we'll be okay, I call them relaxers. And I kept saying, yeah, I don't know about that. There's something not right in Rome here. You know what I mean? It just does not feel the same. There's no energy, there's no excitement, there's no juice, stuff I've been saying all year. And then that led to a new group of fans who became white flaggers. Now, you're not waving the white flag necessarily on the season at this point, but you are waving the white flag on the trade deadline and just saying, okay, we're just going to do the old, we'll dance with what brung us. We hope that some guys start to come back to the team. We hope that some guys start to get hot, that Austin Riley hits like, I don't know, Austin Riley, that Matt Olson hits like, I don't know, Matt Olson, you know, and that Orlando Arcia hits like, I don't know, Orlando Arcia. And that Sean Murphy, it's like Sean Murphy. I mean, they start to hit, and the team will be okay, and we'll be fine. And we'll make the wild card, and hopefully we'll just see what happens then. But, man, that's a lot to ask for. Because we have seen no indication that that's going to happen whatsoever. So I'm going to call myself a white flagger on the trade deadline here. Because I'm not a relaxer. So I'm a white flagger on the trade deadline. I don't see any reason to go out and spend a whole bunch of money. You know, and they're going to be privy to information I'm not privy to. For example, one of the things that they have to ask themselves, where do they stand with Ronald Acuna Jr. for next year? Is he going to be ready? Again, they're not updating us, but they're getting updates. Will he be ready for spring training? Yes, no. Have they sat down to him and talked about how they want to proceed here with him moving forward in order to try to prevent him from getting injuries? Is he still going to be the leadoff guy? Is he still going to play right field? Are you going to try and rework him into a left fielder and a DH? How are you going to go forward with Ronald Acuna? And that's really pretty much up to him, because if the Braves could offer that, if, for example, I don't even know if they would, but if the Braves were to offer that, look, it's you've reached, even though you're still young, a point in your career where you may have to do a little bit of a shift and go into a different kind of role for this team. If he says no, then what are you going to say? You're going to say, okay, all right, fine. You're out in right field and you're leading off. Exactly. And he may just say no. But if he gets injured again, if he comes back and does that and gets injured again, okay, now we really have to have a come-to-Jesus meeting, because he's costing himself so much money. I mean, think about how much money Ronald Acuna Jr. has left on the table between accepting the deal that he did, and at the time that he accepted the deal he did, it wasn't a bad deal. And the injuries, though, man. I mean, the Braves are really lucky they did not get stuck with a Mike Trout deal, okay? Because they could have easily been stuck with a Mike Trout deal. Coming off last year, there would have been some GMs who would have panicked. I was saying, no, don't. Give me one more year. And my reasoning was, he's got to deliver in the postseason. Because they won the World Series without him. He didn't deliver in the next 2 years. Look, you got to, I mean, you're doing great in the regular season, record shattering, 40-70, all that bit. But you got to do it in the postseason. You got to show me you can bring titles to this town. So I would have said, no, show me in this offseason. And then he gets injured again. Now it's like, oof, yay. Because the Angels and poor Ron Washington is out there with a sad sack of a franchise in Anaheim, because they poured all their money essentially into two guys. You know, one of whom was, of course, gone across town. He went north from Orange County up to Chavez Ravine. And the other, how much have baseball fans lost in the never-ending injury saga of Mike Trout? A lot. You know, and it's too bad for baseball. But, man, you want to talk about decapitating a franchise? Mike Trout decapitated the Angels. Not because he wasn't, at his height, the best player in the game. He was. But because he just made it so that they couldn't really do anything else. And it became, okay. And they're just a sad sack of a franchise now. Whew, man. 404-726-0929. Are you alongside me? Do you think maybe it's time to kind of wave the white flag at the trade deadline and just dance with what brung you? If you're a Braves fan. If you're a Falcons fan, I want to know a couple of things. One, what's your confidence level that Kirk Cousins, Oren says 150,000%. What's your confidence level that Kirk Cousins will be a full go by the time we get to the Steelers game? And the second question I have for you is, what is the biggest obstacle to the Falcons winning the NFC South? Taking injuries out. I don't want to, well, you know, I mean, it could be injuries. Everybody, it could be injuries. Everybody. It's not injuries for the Chiefs. Oh, really? Patrick Mahomes goes down in week one, breaks his ankle, he's out for the year. They're going to win the world. Okay, yeah, okay. It's for everybody. Oh, that's right. It's for everybody. So what is the biggest obstacle to the Falcons winning the NFC South? Is it too many changes this year? We're talking this year. Too many changes too fast. New coaches, new players, especially key positions, new schemes. Is it the really difficult schedule on paper to start the season? We mentioned those first 5 weeks. You know, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Kansas City, Swampers, Bucks, and all kind of back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back, right? Three of them in prime time, one on a short week. Really, you're not kind of just rolling into the season playing the Panthers and the Commanders and the Giants, you know, oh, no, and the Raiders. No, you're not doing that. So is it the difficult schedule to start the season? Is it too many changes too soon? Or is it the division being better than most people expect it to be? Now, I don't know if the division is going to be better or not. I know the Falcons are going to be better. I think Tampa's the same. I mean, I don't know if they're slightly better. Todd Bowles thinks they are. He's saying Super Bowl down there in Tampa. I know the Panthers are going to be better. Why? Because they can't be much worse. Okay? They can't be much worse. And they got a new coach. They got some new players. So they're going to be slightly better. It's the Swampers that I don't know where they're going to fall. I really don't. I mean, you could tell me if you were a Swamper at 404-726-0929. I'd actually like to talk to you. I don't bite the heads off Swampers, primarily because that would make me sick. But I also am kind of curious to talk to you. What is your expectation? Because I read their big SB Nation sites called, should I give it out? All right, it's Canal Street Chronicles. You don't have to go there. It's like, you know, it's NSFW, okay? It's called Canal Street Chronicles. It's like a SB Nation's porn site. So anyway, they said in Canal Street Chronicles, oh, we're going 11-6. Absolutely we're winning the division. And I thought, okay. Maybe I'm just being blind to all this because I look at that team and say, if they play the season out kind of straight, they're 8-9, not 11-6. And I'm not sure they're playing the season out straight. I think they're kind of looking at their team going, we'll try at the beginning of the year, and then we may just kind of like, I don't know. Hey, let's get the number two pick and get Carson Beck in here. How about that, guys? Hey, yeah, let's do that. They might just kind of slowly say, okay, this guy's gone and this guy's gone. And we're actually not going to sign Alvin Kamara, who's holding in at camp right now. I don't know which way it's going to go for them. 404-726-0929. So if you're a Swamper, you could tell me. I am really intrigued because I wouldn't blame you if you're a Swamper, if you came in and said, hey, it's time for us to reset this franchise. Yeah, you think? Because next year you start already right now $100 million in the hole to the cap next year. Maybe it's time you reset the franchise. What's the biggest obstacle to the Falcons winning the NFC South? Too many changes, difficult schedule, division being better. And for the Braves, are you waving the white flag on the trade deadline as they take on the Mets in New York? 404-726-0929. Let's chat. John Fricke on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Aim.
From the Northern Kia Studios, it is football season. It is underway. 1 week from tonight, the Hall of Fame game between the Bears and the Texans in Canton. Coming up in less than 48 hours from now, the Falcons will be holding an open practice at Second Year High in Buford again. It'll be Saturday night, 6 p.m. I would encourage you to get there early if you want, especially if you want to get seating. I can't know what the crowd's going to be. No idea, obviously. But I think there's a lot of excitement, obviously, around the team this year. So I expect it to be rather large. And so therefore, I think it's probably going to fill up pretty quickly. But again, I could be wrong. I have no idea. It could be raining. I don't know. I'm just telling you, 6 to 8. And you could go to our website, to AtlantaFalcons.com, to 929thegame.com, to my Twitter, at John Fricke, J-O-H-N, F-R-I-C-K-E, and see all the details on the open practices. Talking a little NFL tonight. We've got some more sound to get into with the Atlanta Falcons. Talking about the Braves and whether or not I've become a white flagger. I don't think the Braves ought to make a big move. If you want to make a move, that's fine. I see no reason right now to make a big move before the trade deadline. I used to say, go out and get a great right fielder, go out and get a Jazz Chisholm-like guy, Kyle Tucker, go out and get somebody, really kind of infuse your team, put a new hole there, and I'm like, nah, you know what? At this point, just play this out. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. We'll go into the offseason to figure it out because I got nothing now anymore. I'm not down in the mouth. I'm just, I guess, Abe Gordon realistic here. Let's go to Will. Hey, Will, welcome to the show.
Hello?
Hello, Will.
Yes, sir. See, you was looking for some Swampers to, I guess, figure out what we got going on, Will. You know, we just, like any other team, we working on our main issue last year, you know, for y'all that's, you know, Falcon fans, I hear sometimes y'all, we this, we that. The Saints can't be this because they were terrible last year. Well, we were terrible because it was mostly O-line play. But I just heard you mention Alvin Kamara's doing a hold-in. A hold-in is when you at practice and not practicing. So he's practicing, if you like to know. But I'm quite sure.
Well, I had seen that he was practicing. I saw he was there, but the last I read, which was last night, was he wasn't practicing.
Oh yeah, he's practicing. I mean, if you go back and check it out, he decided to let the people know that he ain't gonna be a distraction to the team. You know, and it makes no sense to hold out when he's trying to make
Well, I know he was there. I mean, can you look that up for me, Orin? Did he actually practice today? I mean, he showed up because he said he wasn't stupid. He wasn't gonna get fined. you know, $50,000. A couple of guys are doing these new hold-in things. This is kind of a new thing in order to, you know, avoid Will being fined. For example, Brandon Ayuk's doing the same thing in San Francisco. He's holding in. He showed up, but he's not going to work out. He's just going to stand there. Trent Williams, on the other hand, is flat out holding out. And they've got the same issue in Dallas with CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons. But anyway, I mean, they're side here and there. They'll probably figure it out. I don't know which way it's going to go for you guys this year. I mean, are you going to be competitive, or is this the year you say finally? Because at some point, Will, you guys down in the swamp are going to have to say, that's it, we have to retool this team. We can't carry this forward anymore. And even though you've got some good players, they're starting to, you know, like the Cam Jordans of the world, they're starting to get a little long in the tooth. I mean, Honey Badger's getting a little older, Cam's getting a little older, Derek Carr's getting a little older, and you've got Olave, you've got Kamara. I mean, Kamara's older as a running back goes. I mean, at some point, you've got to kind of say, look, we need to – first off, y'all, no offense, you got to go out and get a real coach.
Yeah. Okay, that's some people's opinion. I mean, he's never – right now at this point, he's fared no worse than Sean Payton did at the point where he was having issues with the defense. Right.
Sean Payton had some pretty good success there, Oren. Did I miss that?
Yeah, he also had three straight seasons of 7-9.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, at some point, let me ask you a question. You're a Swamper, Will. Would you rather go into next season with Derek Carr as your quarterback, or would you rather draft Carson Beck?
Who says Carson Beck calls? I mean,
okay.
Some people sit here and say because of what they
would you rather go into the season? It's a simple question, Will. I know that math is tough. Would you rather go into the season with Derek Carr as your starting quarterback or Carson Beck?
Can I answer the question?
Sure.
I'd rather go in there with Derek Carr because he.
Okay.
If you look at the stats last year, once the O-line started playing better, he played better. Not saying he
Ramchick's off for the year, right?
Not saying he was the best last year, but towards the end of the season, his numbers got better.
His numbers did get better. All right. I just was curious. I mean, that's fine. It's fair analysis. I appreciate your being fair about it. I mean, look, I just don't know what to expect. I think were I a Swamper fan, and of course I would never be because, you know, I've never been arrested. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that I don't think I would want them to continue doing this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Because I think they're at a point here where they're just spinning their wheels. There's nothing in the Saints' orbit that says to me they're going to be competing for a Super Bowl in the next 5 years. Nothing. There's really nothing in the Tampa orbit. I thought Tampa was going to reset a couple of years ago, and then they went out and got Baker Mayfield, and lo and behold, they won the division back-to-back with Baker and won a playoff game last year and sort of resurrected his career. And I think that's false positives again about what they expect because you got Todd Bowles down there saying, hey, we're going to go to the Super Bowl. I'm like, I don't know about that. You know, I mean, I'm not sitting here telling you the Falcons are going to the Super Bowl, even though I know Raheem's used the word Super and Bowl. But if you look at the Falcons, their young core is far better than the young core of the Saints and far better than the young core of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, the Panthers were forced into it, into this change, because they're now their third coach in 3 years, third head coach in 3 years, because their owner's terrible. But maybe the change will be good for them, because at some point you have to retool. You have to reset your franchise. It is the nature of the NFL. What the New England Patriots did, you want to talk about, look, there, a couple of franchises have been able to kind of make this work long term. The Packers did it because they got incredibly fortunate. I mean, just incredible fortune of having two Hall of Fame quarterbacks with extensive careers be on the team and switch over one to the other. I mean, that just does not happen. It happened in San Francisco with Steve Young and with Joe Montana and Steve Young. It happened in Green Bay with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. It just doesn't happen. Now they got Jordan Love, who's holding out. There you go again. And wants a new deal. And we'll see how good he is. I think Jordan's a fine quarterback. I do. I don't think he's in the universe of Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre, but I don't know. Maybe he'll surprise me here. What the Patriots did was because, again, you get a great quarterback, and they just happened to do it. Now, the Steelers come in here. That's another franchise that has had long, long, long-term success. But if you look at the Niners have Dow Jones'd. I mean, they've been a great franchise, but they've had some pretty lean years. The Chiefs have had some really lean years. And so if you go out and get the right quarterback, things can click for you as a franchise, because it's a quarterback-driven league, right? And we all understand that. And without the quarterback, then you're not going to do anything. When Derek Carr went to New Orleans, I said, is this a stopgap move? Because it can't be a move to go win a Super Bowl. He's just not that good. He's a below average. When I say below average, he's not a top 15 quarterback in the NFL. Not in my opinion. He's not a top 15 quarterback, and he's nowhere in the universe of the previous quarterback. Right? I mean, of course, he's not nowhere in the universe of that guy. So I'm like, okay, is that a stopgap move? At some point, you're going to have to. As bad as their cap situation was, I thought again incorrectly that maybe they ought to just go ahead and say, all right, look. We're going to have to bite the bullet for a couple of years, kind of strip the team out, you know, reset our salary cap and rebuild the franchise. They chose not to do that. The Falcons chose not to do it, and what happened with that was we've had a lot of years. What happens when you have two choices, okay? When it ends, you've got two choices. You could strip the team immediately, suffer through the couple of years, and try and rebuild using the draft and maybe free agency and see if you can't go from – you know, great, because, again, the whole Green Bay thing just does not happen. Go from Brady to great again, right? By, like, the Falcons got really lucky because they went from Vic basically to Ryan with 1 year in between with Joey Harrington. So you strip the team out, you take a couple of years, and you come back, right? And with kind of a new team, new attitude, maybe a new head coach, and you kind of redirect the franchise. Or you try and just patch it together, and as you're patching it together, which is what they're doing in Tampa, luckily for them, the division was terrible at the time they were patching it together, so they won a couple of division titles, which gives them a false positive. And then down in New Orleans, you know, they're trying to patch together. We tried here in Atlanta to patch together because that was my big thing 3 or 4 years ago when Arthur Smith was hired, and they said, we want to rebuild and win. And I went, oh, no, that's not what you want to do. You want to move on from the Matt Ryan era, strip the team out, start over again, give the new coach and have the new coach be able to say, look, I'm rebuilding the franchise here because it's just going to be more mediocrity. And sure enough, what was it? More mediocrity. So this is kind of the strip out this year with this franchise. You bring in a new head coach, you bring in the new quarterback, you bring in another new quarterback, and you've been drafting through this, and this is going to then of course Terry Fontenot can say, well, that's what we were doing. We were trying to be, you know, win while we were rebuilding. Yeah, it just takes a long time sometimes. And so in this case, it's going to be, we're into year 4 of the rebuild, right? And so if it doesn't quite catch this year, next year we'll be into year 5 of the rebuild, and we'll be pushing 8 years since we were in the playoffs. So you got to make a decision as a franchise is to tear it down and start over at some point in the NFL, because the NFL stands for not for long, and because players aren't around all that long except for quarterbacks and kickers, then you usually have to start over at some point. And that happens to everybody. The Cowboys don't want to do that. They're just too proud. But the Cowboys really ought to think about it. The Cowboys, Jerry Jones, but Jerry Jones too. See, the problem is he's old. Another thing here. The owners are too old. They don't have time for it. You know what I mean? They just don't have time for it. They don't have time to strip the team out and restart. I don't know about the Cowboys this year. I saw something where ESPN, when I was predicting the Cowboys' schedule this year, and somebody tweeted it out, and it wasn't good. I mean, their record this year, it was like 7-10, okay? And they had them losing all these games, including losing to the Falcons. The Cowboys fans were all mad at ESPN, going, the Cowboys aren't going 7-10. What are you talking about? Blah, blah, blah. And all I could say was, they want to fire their head coach in the worst way. They just got rid of their defense coordinator. They want to fire their head coach. Their quarterback, they're paying him way too much money. They lost their star running back a couple of years back. Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb aren't showing up right now. I'm not sure when they're showing up. In what world are you looking at the Dallas Cowboys saying, yeah, this is a winning formula? Because it isn't. The Dallas Cowboys are going to struggle in that division. I'm not so certain that that division in the NFC East is as good as the NFC South. What? They've got the Eagles and the Cowboys. I don't think the Cowboys are all that good. I'm telling you, I think the Cowboys are going to struggle. You saw the Eagles at the end of the year, didn't you? I mean, that didn't exactly look like a powerhouse team. And the other two squads, oddly, Dan Quinn's in the best position because if Jaden Daniels blows up, Dan Quinn could do in Washington what he did here in Atlanta, which is to reignite a franchise, and suddenly they're a 500 team this year. And next year, suddenly, they're making big noise because he could. He's got some of the working models there. I look at the Commanders and go, they're young players, they're good, all right. Good luck to Dan Quinn. But at this point, it wouldn't shock me if all of a sudden the Commanders won the division under Dan Quinn in year two or year three. I look at trend lines. I like the Commanders' trend line far more than I like the Cowboys' trend line. I think the Cowboys' trend line is flat to down. And I don't know what Jerry Jones is looking at. If your trend line is flat to down, you got to say, maybe we should look at this and come up with a new model. I look at the Swampers and go flat to down. The Falcons are up. That's a trend line that's up, right? I think we all see that. I would hope you see that. 404-726-0929. What Grady had to say about the limitations on what he can do. And Raheem talking about his mindset. Some of the stuff the Falcons were talking about today at training camp. Next on 99 The Game Tonight. Our Falcons insider and reporter is Joe Patrick, and good friend of mine, and somebody you should follow, and does really good work. Of course, he's one of the hosts, along with Harper LaBelle and I, the Wave 4 Tailgate Show. And he's going to be putting up on his Twitter, on Joe Patrick's Twitter, his filming himself talking about what he sees at practice every day. And he was talking today on his feed out there about how, Penix and Heinicke split reps at two, and how Richie Grant ran with the first team ahead of Helms next to Bates, how Mike Hughes ran with the first team ahead of Clark Phillips at the other cover corner, D. Alford running first team at nickel. It doesn't really mean a whole lot. He's not wrong. He's reporting fact. It just doesn't mean a whole lot because I got some people going, I can't believe that, Mike Hughes and Richie Grant are starting. Well, again, they're just running them with first team right now. That's why it's called training camp, to kind of figure out all these races here for these different positions here. For example, James Smith-Williams was running first team at edge over Zach Harrison. Maybe somebody's just a little bit dinged up. James Smith-Williams is not starting over Zach Harrison at edge, okay? He's not. The Falcons are, they've got some question marks on defense. On offense, they're pretty much set, right? Everybody knows who all the starters are. Maybe Casey Williams could come out of the blue and, oh my God, but he's still not going to be starting. And everybody understands who the starters are, right? So the Cowboys, on the other hand, I mentioned them. They got a problem. We'll get into that in just a moment. But back to the Falcons here. On defense, there really are no starters per se on the defensive line, on the interior defensive line, and the edge. That's why this whole James Smith-Williams is starting. It's all kind of rotational stuff. Grady is the big key in that. Having Grady back, oh, thank God he's back. 31 years old, still got game in him, might have to wear a brace for a little while. Grady, though, talking today about everybody talks about Kirk Cousins and injury. They're not talking enough about Grady coming back off injury and what he means to this team. Here's Grady talking about his limitations right now.
No limitations, but, obviously we got to smart going forward. But no limitations, just the amount of reps, my group, but I mean, it's like almost like riding a bike. You know what I'm saying? It's been this year 10 now, knowing how to practice as a pro, you know, knowing what it takes to be ready for game time. And I can say I'm definitely starting in the right direction.
10 years. Oh, my God. It's been 10 years. Oh, man. Oren, it's already been 10. Grady's a 10-year guy. Oh. Wow. Yeah. Remember when you was Grady's mom? Never mind. Raheem Morris is talking today, the new head coach. Hopefully we're going, it's already been 10 years for Raheem. I can't believe it. That would be a good thing. Talking about how it's different now. Of course, remember he was, I don't have to tell you to remember this, I think. Any Falcon fan over the last, we'll just take the Grady 10 years, knows this fully well, that in the COVID year, when they came back, of course, it ended up, Dan Quinn, bye-bye. He is the interim head coach of the team. At that point, and so he goes off and he joins the Rams staff. But he's talking about how things are different for him now, this go-round, his second go-round here in Atlanta.
It's really funny because, it was really clear on the vision that the Falcons had, because Terry Fontenot, Kyle Smith, Ryan Pace, the guys that are in place that put this roster together, obviously along with Art Smith and some of the guys that were here before, but these guys were in place and you knew exactly what they can do when you're talking about a Bijan Robinson, a Drake London, the Kyle Pitts, and just the people that they were putting in those spots, right? Even to Taylor Allgeier and then what the O-line has become, right? So you got a real good feel about those guys even coming in. So it's hard to say more, just what you were able to add to that group and things that you're able to do. The Moonies of the world, the Ray McClouds, the Rondell Moores. Some of those guys being able to add to that group and give you something else, like Chris Blair, and actually provide you with those role clarity to get the things going the way you want to get it going, right? So the thing I can tell you is I don't know more about the player yet. Obviously, we haven't done anything full speed, but you do know about what roles that you vision for these guys, and you know what roles you can tell those guys you think they should take right now. That doesn't mean it's going to stay the same. Their roles can change based on play. Their roles can increase based on play. Their roles can get better based on play. And those things always change throughout a season, no matter what. And you better have people in those backup roles that know those roles, so when somebody goes down, you don't have a drop-off or a major drop-off. Or you can supplement it with different people. Well, they supplement those positions. You got a way you want to figure those things out.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Raheem preached to the choir here. Now, it is good that Raheem does have a history here. And he's coached to players like Grady here and Jake Matthews and others. I mean, he's coached a number of the guys that have been that are currently on the team. So he doesn't come in brand new. He's not like, oh, I got to get used to Atlanta. I got to figure out how to get around town. What do the schools look like? He's like, oh, I'm home. Hey, hi, how you doing? Good to see you again. Good to see you again. Good to see you again. So, there's a familiarity there that makes it a little bit different than hiring a new coach from Los Angeles, not named Raheem Morris, right? I mean, so there's that. And, the familiarity, too, of the offense. So because, Kirk Cousins is going to have a familiarity with this offense, but largely in part to the fact that he played for Kevin O'Connell. Again, full disclosure, Kevin O'Connell, head coach of the Vikings, is somebody I know fairly well. He was the quarterback at San Diego State when I was a play-by-play guy there. But Kevin O'Connell is a disciple of who? Sean McVay. Zach Robinson is a disciple of who? Sean McVay. Raheem Morris, when he was here, was running the passing game, and he took some of those elements and went to where? Join Sean McVay. So Kirk Cousins is familiar with a lot of what they want to do on offense here. So the learning curve of picking up this offense for Kirk Cousins is really pretty quick. He's probably already picked it up, frankly. I mean, he looks at the playbook, yeah, we were running that in Minnesota. Yeah, we were running that. We were running that. Okay, I got it. All right, let's look around and see what I got here. And then he turns around and he realizes who he's got running behind him, whether it's Bijan, especially Bijan, and Tyler, and go, oh, wow, okay. Okay, I can work with this, here you go. he had Dalvin, I know, and he had Jefferson, I know. Look, he had great play. They had a great offense, okay? Falcons have a better offensive line than he had in Minnesota. They have a flat better offensive line. Now they don't have a Justin Jefferson, I get that. But I think when you look around, you go, the Falcons are pretty good. I can work with this. And for Raheem, I think his familiarity with the city and the franchise, with Flowery Branch, with the stadium, with some of the players on the team, with their familiarity with Raheem, because like when it comes to blocking schemes, Raheem goes to Jake and says, "Hey, we're gonna do this. This is like the playbook that Shanahan lost. Okay, so we're gonna go back to this thing here, this Shanahan playbook, and we're gonna do this and this, help these guys out." And Jake goes, "All right, this is what we ran back in the day." And so the learning curve isn't as steep as you think it is sometimes with a new coach. When you got a quarterback that's used to the system because he comes from the same tree as, you know, the McVay tree, you know, in terms of, you know, running the offense, and you've got players who have done it before, especially when we're talking about how do you handle the offensive line? Well, the, you know, the legendary left tackle there, and he's getting to be a legendary anymore, is able to kind of walk you through all this stuff. And so I'm really excited about what this offense can do in that regard. I mentioned just before the break about the Cowboys. I was noticing today that the Cowboys have a problem, okay? And Stephen Jones, Jerry's kid, he's probably 60 by age, his 60s. Stephen Jones is the team president, says that, he said this. He says, Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb, he said, quote, "Both of them, rightfully so, believe they should be the highest paid non-quarterback in the league." Okay? So that's Stephen Jones saying, look, Micah Parsons, and Micah's great. CeeDee Lamb, and CeeDee's great too. Both of them believe that they should be the highest paid non-quarterback in the league. Okay, well, that presents a conundrum here, because you're already going to pay your quarterback a gazillion dollars. Now you're going to pay three guys a gazillion dollars and nothing else to anybody else. How does that usually work out when you do that if you're an NFL team? Oh, and by the way, there's another problem. It's not just a cap problem. It's a CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons. Because if they both went to Stephen Jones and said, "Stephen, Jerry, I'm not going to show up here and go for you until you make me the highest paid non-quarterback in the league." Next dude walks in and says, "Stephen, Jerry, I'm not going to play till you make me the highest paid non-quarterback in the league." Does anybody understand what the problem with that is? The problem with that is, which one of those guys makes more? "Well, CeeDee, you'll be the second highest paid non-quarterback because we've got to pay Micah more." No, I got to be the highest paid. Micah, you'll be the second highest paid because we got to pay CeeDee more. No, I mean, that's not going to work out well. You got two guys in your own team saying, you got to pay me more than anybody not named a quarterback. Oh, and you got to pay me more than my teammate. And the other guy says, you got to pay me more than anybody who's not a quarterback, and you got to pay me more than him. What if we paid you guys the same amount? No, we want to be the highest paid non-quarterback in the league. How about you just the highest paid wide receiver? No, I got to be the highest. I just tell you, Mike McCarthy's going to get fired. Don't we all know this? And I don't know how much of it is Mike McCarthy's fault. I really don't. I think it's Jerry Jones has boxed himself into a corner in Dallas. And I only know this because I go to Dallas so often. And my mom, God love her, my mom still gets the news. Orin, my mom still gets the newspaper. She still gets, every day gets the newspaper. So, and I love to read newspapers. I just don't get them anymore. So I would go, when I go see my mom, like I did this past spring and this past summer, I would read the Dallas Morning News. Now, in Dallas, the Mavericks were going into, like, you know, the deep into the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. And the Stars went, well, Mavericks, you saw how deep they went, and they went to the finals. And then you got the Stars going to the semifinals, right, to the Western Conference Finals. And the Rangers are coming off a World Series win. They were World Series champs. And the sports section was, you'd open it up. This would be like in, you know, June or April, rather. April, May, when last time I went. You'd open up the Dallas Morning News and you would go, and then you would turn to the next page. No. Okay, hang on. All right, page 4. There's the Mavericks and there's the Stars. Okay. Page 5. There's the Rangers. Because the first three pages were nothing but Cowboys. It's kind of driving those other franchises nuts. I mean, they're like, they get a little itty bitty. There's a little itty bitty picture of like Luca, you know, down in the corner. You know, hey, more Luka, on the Luka, Mavericks' Luka, amazing Luka. Run, page 8. You know, more on the Stars' amazing run to the cup, page 9. You know, Cowboys off season. What are they? I mean, oh my God, it's nothing but Cowboys all the time. I mean, it's really something. Because that town is strictly a one horse town. ridden by a cowboy, okay? And the rest of them are like, oh, they like pat the Rangers on the head like you pat an 8-year-old who did something really nice for his neighbor. You know, you pat him on the, ah, World Series, that's nice. Go back to your crappy stadium that looks like a Home Depot box and get back to us. We got cowboys to worry about. I mean, that's what they are. That's what they are. It's really something. So the Cowboys, you suck all the oxygen out of the room. That franchise, again, they've managed to hang on and be competitive. And Jerry keeps coming out every year saying, Dak Prescott is the best quarterback in the world. And I keep going, he's good, but he ain't the best quarterback in the world. And now I look at that franchise and go, I think they're going to have trouble. I think that they are just trying to hang on to something because I mean, I could be wrong here. I got questions about a lot of franchises this year. The Cowboys are one of them. And so when the dude on ESPN lays it out and says 7-10 and the Cowboys fans go nuts, I'm going, yeah, I don't know if he's far off, guys, because you read some of this stuff with the Cowboys, and I go to Dallas a lot. So if the second team I follow the most, even though I can't stand them, just by sheer proxy, is the Dallas Cowboys because I'm there so much and I'm reading the Dallas Morning News every damn day because the paper comes. And so I'm paying attention to a lot of what they say about the Cowboys, and I'm going, yeah, I don't know. This doesn't sound like it's going too well here. You know, it's a great franchise. It's one of the big – how many great – what are the biggest – I guess Patriots are now in that league because of what they've done. Patriots, 49ers, Packers, Steelers, Cowboys, like the big five, right? I mean, did I leave anybody out? I know Raiders fans go, Raiders. Yeah, okay, whatever. You know, find a town that you'll actually stay in for 5 years. So I don't know. I mean, it's weird. I don't think the Cowboys are going to be all that much. And I think they've got some internal problems, and this just kind of points it out. This is a problem when you've got two guys saying, hey, listen, I want to be paid more than, oh, wait, you can't pay him. Oh, yeah, that's a problem for Stephen Jones. It's a problem. And if you're going to throw all your money into CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, and Dak Prescott, are we all that concerned about that game for the Falcons this year? Because I'm not. I'm like, yeah, we got lots of guys. You got like three. I think we'll be okay. On Sports Radio 99 The Game. Yeah. Remember when Hugh was in Grady's mom? Never mind. Raheem Morris is talking today, the new head coach. Hopefully we're going, it's already been 10 years for Raheem. I can't believe it. That would be a good thing. Talking about how it's different now. Of course, remember, he was, I don't have to tell you to remember this, I think. Any Falcon fan over the last, we'll just take the Grady 10 years, knows this fully well, that in the COVID year, when they came back, you know, of course, it ended up, you know, Dan Quinn, bye-bye. He is the interim head coach of the team at that point. And so he goes off and he joins the Rams staff. But he's talking about how things are different for him now, this go-round, his second go-round here in Atlanta.
You know, it's really funny because, like, it was really clear on the vision that the Falcons had because Terry Fontenot, Kyle Smith, Ryan Pace, the guys that are in place that put this roster together, you know, obviously along with Art Smith and some of the guys that were here before, but these guys were in place and you knew exactly what they can do when you're talking about a Bijan Robinson, a Drake London, the Kyle Pitts, and just the people that they were putting in those spots, right? You know, even to Taylor Allgeier and then what the O-line has become, right? So you got a real good feel about those guys even coming in. So it's hard to say you know more, just what you were able to add to that group and things that you're able to do. The Moonies of the world, the Ray McClouds, the Rondell Moores. Some of those guys being able to add to that group and give you something else, a Chris Blair, and actually provide you with those role clarity to get the things going the way you want to get it going, right? So the thing I can tell you is I don't know more about the player yet. Obviously, we haven't done anything full speed, but you do know about what roles that you vision for these guys, and you know what roles you can tell those guys you think they should take right now. That doesn't mean it's going to stay the same. Their roles can change based on play. Their roles can increase based on play. Their roles can get better based on play. And those things always change throughout a season, no matter what. And you better have people in those backup roles that know those roles, so when somebody goes down, you don't have a drop-off or a major drop-off. Or you can supplement it with different people. Well, they supplement those positions. You got a way you want to figure those things out.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Raheem preached to the choir here. Now, it is good that Raheem does have a history here. And he's coached players like Grady here and Jake Matthews and others. I mean, these coach a number of the guys that have been that are currently on the team. So he doesn't come in brand new. He's not like, oh, I got to get used to Atlanta. I got to figure out how to get around town. You know, hey, well, you know, what do the schools look like? You know, he's like, oh, I'm home. Hey, hi, how you doing? Good to see you again. Good to see you again. Good to see you again. So, you know, there's a familiarity there that makes it a little bit different than hiring a new coach from Los Angeles, not named Raheem Morris, right? I mean, so there's that. And, you know, the familiarity, too, of the offense. So because, like, Kirk Cousins is going to have a familiarity with this offense, but largely in part to the fact that he played for Kevin O'Connell. Again, full disclosure, Kevin O'Connell, head coach of the Vikings, is somebody I know fairly well. He was the quarterback at San Diego State when I was a play-by-play guy there. But Kevin O'Connell is a disciple of who? Sean McVay. Zach Robinson is a disciple of who? Sean McVay. Raheem Morris, when he was here, was running the passing game, and he took some of those elements and went to where? Join Sean McVay. So Kirk Cousins is familiar with a lot of what they want to do on offense here. So the learning curve of picking up this offense for Kirk Cousins is really pretty quick. He's probably already picked it up, frankly. I mean, he looks at the playbook, yeah, we were running that in Minnesota. Yeah, we were running that. We were running that. Okay, I got it. You know, all right, let's look around and see what I got here. And then he turns around and he realizes who he's got running behind him, whether it's Bijan, especially Bijan, and Tyler, and go, oh, wow, okay. Okay, I can work with this, you know. Here you go. You know, I mean, he had Dalvin, I know, and he had Jefferson, I know. Look, he had great play. They had a great offense, okay? Falcons have a better offensive line than he had in Minnesota. They have a better offensive line. Now they don't have a Justin Jefferson. I get that. But I think when you look around, you go, you know, the Falcons are pretty good. I can work with this. And for Raheem, I think his familiarity with the city and the franchise, with Flowery Branch, with the stadium, with some of the players on the team, with their familiarity with Raheem, because like when it comes to blocking schemes, Raheem goes to Jake and says, "Hey, we're gonna do this. This is like the playbook that Shanahan lost. Okay, so we're gonna go back to this thing here, this Shanahan playbook, and we're gonna do this and this. Help these guys out." And Jake goes, "All right, this is what we ran back in the day." Okay. And so the learning curve isn't as steep as you think it is sometimes with a new coach. When you got a quarterback that's used to the system because he comes from the same tree as, you know, the McVay tree, you know, in terms of, you know, running the offense, and you've got players who have done it before, especially when we're talking about how do you handle the offensive line? Well, the legendary left tackle there, and he's getting to be a legendary anymore, is able to kind of walk you through all this stuff. And so I'm really excited about what this offense can do in that regard. I mentioned just before the break about the Cowboys. I was noticing today that the Cowboys have a problem, okay? And Stephen Jones, Jerry's kid, he's probably 60 by age, his 60s. Stephen Jones is the team president, he said Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb, he said, quote, "Both of them, rightfully so, believe they should be the highest paid non-quarterback in the league." Okay? So that's Stephen Jones saying, look, Micah Parsons, and Micah's great, CeeDee Lamb, and CeeDee's great too, both of them believe that they should be the highest paid non-quarterback in the league. Okay, well, that presents a conundrum here, because you're already going to pay your quarterback a gazillion dollars. Now you're going to pay three guys a gazillion dollars and nothing else to anybody else. How does that usually work out when you do that if you're an NFL team? Oh, and by the way, there's another problem. It's not just a cap problem. It's a CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons. Because if they both went to Stephen Jones and said, "Stephen, Jerry, I'm not going to show up here and go for you until you make me the highest paid non-quarterback in the league." Next dude walks in and says, "Stephen, Jerry, I'm not going to play till you make me the highest paid non-quarterback in the league." Does anybody understand what the problem with that is? The problem with that is, which one of those guys makes more? "Well, CD, you'll be the second highest paid non-quarterback because we've got to pay Micah more." No, I got to be the highest paid. Micah, you'll be the second highest paid because we got to pay CeeDee more. No, I mean, that's not going to work out well. You got two guys in your own team saying, you got to pay me more than anybody not named a quarterback. Oh, and you got to pay me more than my teammate. And the other guy says, you got to pay me more than anybody who's not a quarterback, and you got to pay me more than him. What if we paid you guys the same amount? No, no, we want to be the highest paid non-quarterback in the league. How about you just the highest paid wide receiver? No, I got to be the highest. I just tell you, Mike McCarthy's going to get fired. Don't we all know this? And I don't know how much of it is Mike McCarthy's fault. I really don't. I think it's Jerry Jones has boxed himself into a corner in Dallas. And I only know this because I go to Dallas so often. And my mom, God love her, my mom still gets the news. Orin, my mom still gets the newspaper. She still gets, every day, gets the newspaper. So, and I love to read newspapers. I just don't get them anymore. So I would go, when I go see my mom, like I did this past spring and this past summer, I would read the Dallas Morning News. Now, in Dallas, the Mavericks were going into, like, you know, the deep into the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Stars went, well, Mavericks, you saw how deep they went, and they went to the finals. And then you got the Stars going to the semifinals, right, to the Western Conference Finals. And the Rangers coming off a World Series win. They were World Series champs. And the sports section was, you'd open it up, this would be like in, you know, June, or April, rather, April, May, when, last time I went. You'd open up the Dallas Morning News, and you would go, and then you would turn to the next page. No, okay, hang on. All right, page four. There's the Mavericks, and there's the Stars. Okay, page five. There's the Rangers, because the first three pages were nothing but Cowboys. It's kind of driving those other franchises nuts. I mean, they're like, they get a little itty bitty. There's a little itty bitty picture of like Luca, you know, down in the corner. You know, hey, more on the Mavericks' amazing run, page eight. You know, more on the Stars' amazing run to the Cup, page nine. You know, Cowboys off season. What are they? I mean, oh my God, it's nothing but Cowboys all the time. I mean, it's really something. Because that town is strictly a one horse town. Ridden by a cowboy, okay? And the rest of them are like, oh, they like pat the Rangers on the head like you pat an 8-year-old who did something really nice for his neighbor. You know, you pat him on the, ah, World Series, that's nice. Go back to your crappy stadium that looks like a Home Depot box and get back to us. We got cowboys to worry about. I mean, that's what they are. That's what they are. It's really something. So the Cowboys, you suck all the oxygen out of the room. That franchise, again, they've managed to hang on and be competitive. And Jerry keeps coming out every year saying, Dak Prescott is the best quarterback in the world. And I keep going, he's good, but he ain't the best quarterback in the world. And now I look at that franchise and go, I think they're going to have trouble. I think that they are just trying to hang on to something because, I mean, I could be wrong here. I got questions about a lot of franchises this year. The Cowboys are one of them. And so when the dude on ESPN lays it out and says 7-10 and the Cowboys fans go nuts, I'm going, yeah, I don't know if he's far off, guys, because you read some of this stuff with the Cowboys, and I go to Dallas a lot. So if the second team I follow the most, even though I can't stand them, just by sheer proxy, is the Dallas Cowboys, because I'm there so much and I'm reading the Dallas Morning News every damn day because the paper comes. And so I'm paying attention to a lot of what they say about the Cowboys, and I'm going, yeah, I don't know. This doesn't sound like it's going too well here. You know, it's a great franchise. It's one of the big, how many great, what are the biggest, I guess Patriots are now in that league because of what they've done. Patriots, 49ers, Packers, Steelers, Cowboys, like the big five, right? I mean, did I leave anybody out? I know Raiders fans go, Raiders. Yeah, okay, whatever. You know, find a town that you'll actually stay in for 5 years. So I don't know. I mean, it's weird. I don't think the Cowboys are going to be all that much. And I think they've got some internal problems. And this just kind of points it out. This is a problem when you've got two guys saying, hey, listen, I want to be paid more than, oh, wait, you can't pay him. Oh, yeah. That's a problem for Stephen Jones. It's a problem. And if you're going to throw all your money into CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, and Dak Prescott, are we all that concerned about that game for the Falcons this year? Because I'm not. I'm like, yeah, we got lots of guys. You got like three. I think we'll be okay. On Sports Radio 92 on the game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.